I was going to say, Pastor Tim, go ahead, but no, actually. Well, it's exciting. For those that don't know who I am, my name is Joel. I pastor this here with Pastor Tim, but I also lead our second service in Espanol. So it's just an awesome opportunity for me to be here. I want to just thank Pastor Tim and Callie for the opportunity for letting me speak today on how faith works. So last week, Pastor Tim talked about Abraham and how he shows us to hold unswervingly to the promise of God. Amen. We've been on this series called How Faith Works, and how God leads us to trust him in all things. Let me tell you that Abraham is definitely one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And we have been speaking out of this verse. If you guys have your Bibles, you guys can turn to Hebrews 10:23. If you don't, you guys can look up on the screen. You'll guys be able to see it here. But it says the following. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And we've been talking this next slide just of how we start out with our faithful God. Amen. We can't be people of faith if we didn't have a faithful God. How many agree with that? So, and how God has promised us many things. So we see that he makes promises to his children, to his people, and through his son Jesus, and how all of our God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We believe that all of God's promises are yes and amen, saying like, yes, that would happen. That is his desire, that that would happen in your life. But then it also does something when we hear of his promises. It ignites hope within us. And it ignites hope. And so you'll see and notice that this is all inside and invisible. So that's the area. And I won't go too extensive into what Pastor Tim has already been talking about. But if you'd like to hear more about what this is, this diagram is all about, listen to the podcast. You guys can go to sm4.org and go to podcast. You guys will be able to see or hear the whole series. But that inside and invisible is the stuff that we don't see. Anybody that is not that hasn't even followed Jesus really, you know, can hear and know about this stuff, and somebody that's not mature. But then we also see that the way we grow in Christ, the way we grow in the Lord, is the following things. Sharing that hope that is within us. That whatever God has promised us and that hope that is in us, we have to share it. But not just share it, we get to also hold to it. That's what's important, that we would hold to it when we are professing that hope, when we are believing God's going to do something, that we would not swerve to the left or swerve to the right, but that we would have our hope and our eyes fixed in the Lord. Amen? So, but what does this do? Again, we see this arrow. This is that's the outside and invisible, that whatever we do as far as sharing and holding to it, but we see this arrow that always points back to God. It points us back to the Lord. Isn't that awesome that God would do that? That God would remind us constantly that he is faithful, that we would pursue him in all things. Amen? So that's what is what we've been talking about in the last weeks. But before we move on, I'd love to pray and begin this message this way. Lord, we believe today that you have called us to be people of hope, that you have called us to be people of faith. Lord, we believe that you have called us to know, Father God, who you are. Not just hearing of your word, hearing of who you are, but actually experiencing you for ourselves, seeing this come to pass in our own lives. Lord, and if all things, Father God, that we've seen so far have not convinced us yet that you are faithful, I pray that this week, today, in this message, Lord, you would do that to the power of your Holy Spirit in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, let me tell you that one of the things that is very important is that God has called us to be people of faith. So for many of us that are here, we imagine that we understand exactly how God will fulfill his promises to us. But we rarely get it right. His ways are higher and much different than our own. How many believe that? Today we'll be looking at two surprising realities about God's promises. And the first one, God's promise does not always mean it will be fulfilled during our lifetime. So the first one, if you're taking notes, is receiving God's promise does not always mean it will be fulfilled during our lifetime. And I have a scripture that I love to read to you that actually affirms this statement. And it's found in Hebrews 11:13, and it says the following. It says, all of these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Look, I didn't hear any amens in there or anything like that. But you're like, no, I thought this was going to be a message of faith. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. Wow, this is, when I was reading this scripture, I mean, I've read it many times, but especially with this series, when I saw there, they did not receive what was promised. How many of you guys have promises? All of us have promises from the Lord. And they're all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But guess what? These people, they were all believing what God has promised for them. But they did not receive that promise. They did not receive it. You know, I have mentioned in the past, in some of the preachings, the story of my sister. And for those that are new and haven't heard it, my sister, for many years, could not have children. I mean, she was trying, and she had been married for about 15 years already, and she had been asking the Lord for a kid. I mean, I believe everybody that gets married, that, you know, at one point or another, their desire is to have children. And one of the things that she had been praying for was a child. And for some reason or another, they tried. They went through the new stuff that was coming out, you know, as far as the doctors were telling them, hey, you should do this treatment and then this other treatment. But unfortunately, even though going through those treatments, they still couldn't have a child. And this scripture reminded me of that in a way, but one of the things I remember my sister doing, because she would come over to the house after she was married, and she was talking to my mom, and my mom was praying with her and saying, you know what, you have to keep believing. You have to believe God for that promise. I believe you're going to have a child. The Lord showed me that you would have a child. How many of you guys wake up in the middle of the night with a dream that, like, God spoke to me? Yes, I know that was God. Or you're going to work, and then you start hearing God through a song, and he reminds you that he's with you. I mean, there are several things and several ways in the way God shows up in our lives and reveals things to us. But my mom, she had been revealed that through prayer that my sister would have a child. Now, it was one of those things where God had promised that to my mother, so the promise was for my mom. Sharing that with my sister and telling her, hey, you're going to have a child. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. We're going to believe and continue contending for that promise. And one of the things that I remember as I was cleaning out our garage, I was going through the journals or different files. After my mom passed away, we were going and cleaning out all her stuff. And then I came across this prayer journal. If you guys don't have a prayer journal, get a prayer journal. If you guys don't know what that is, come talk to me after service. But anyway, the prayer journal, you could tell that there was a lot of prayers there. There's prayers for my dad, prayers for me, prayers for a lot of people. But in particular, I remember seeing a prayer for my sister. And then in that journal, I remember not just my sister, but seeing my brother and my sisters and myself. And then under each person, I saw that there was a prayer for their children. And my mom was praying for my brother's children and praying for my sister, my other sister that had, other kids. And so she had their children there. But then when it came to my sister, the one that couldn't have children, she put underneath her name for my future granddaughter, future grandson, Lord, I pray that you would bless them and do things in a way that the prayer was so extensive as far as blessing that kid, saying God, believing that God would use them to bless the nations and all this stuff. I mean, there was just so many things. God, but thank you already beforehand for that promise. Well, let me tell you that, Hebrews 11:13 came to life when I was preparing for this message, because it says that all these people died still believing what God had promised. And let me tell you that my mom passed away before she could even see her granddaughter. So, but the reality is that one of the things that the second part of this verse says, they did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. See, it's like God was showing my mother already before she passed away that she would have a granddaughter, yet she did not get to see it here physically or hold that baby physically, but she saw it at a distance and welcomed it. Yeah. Let me ask you this morning, what has God promised you that you see at a distance that yet you are to hold on to that promise with everything you have, even if it means that you don't get to receive it here on this earth? See, God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is not bound to a clock or calendar the way we are. See, our lives are just a blip in the span of history. But all history fits within his hands. See, he has all eternity to fulfill his promises to us. All eternity. So the problem is that we believe we are eternal here on earth. We see ourselves as just temporary beings. But why don't you turn to a couple of people next to you and tell them you're an eternal being, not just a temporary one. I mean, you're gonna live on forever. Amen. Give it to the Lord if you're gonna give it to him with everything you have. Amen. We want it here. We want it now. Yeah. The question we must ask ourselves as believers is, are we going to keep holding on, believing what God has promised us, even when we don't see the promise being fulfilled? When we see it from a distance, we'll keep on pursuing until our final breath. Awesome. See, that's what my mom did, and she received those promised grandchildren, even though she didn't get to hold them here on this earth. Isn't that amazing? That everything that God has shown you doesn't mean that you will get it here on this earth, but means that you will. God is faithful to fulfill those promises. Is that amazing? We need men and women of God that know what God has promised them so that they can claim them on behalf of those who are around them to reveal a God who is faithful. See, my mother was saying, you're going to have a child. She was claiming those promises on behalf of someone else. God is waiting for those who have decided to put their trust in him, to hold on to his word. Yes. See, there's these three young men in the Bible that I love. You know, like Pastor Tim said, this Hebrews 10:23 is all over the Bible. You look at all the stories in the Bible and you're like, man, this is Hebrews 10:23. And I was reading this scripture, this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of you guys have heard of that story? If you haven't, you can go to Daniel 3 and just get to read it on your own. But I'm going to read to you just a tiny bit of what I believe that these young men knew and did that brought about a change, not only for themselves, but a change for their community, for their society. And it says, and it's found Daniel 3, verse 16 through 18. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, can you say that? He said, even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. See, they were being forced or wanting to be forced to do something that was against what they believed, the promise they had received. Yet, these young men knew something about holding on unswervingly. Yes. Holding on to the promise unswervingly. They said, God is able. Can you say that with me? God is able. But then can you also say, but if he doesn't? You know what I mean? Wow, isn't that powerful? Yeah. If he doesn't, I'm still going to hold on. Yeah. That's the reality. That's the reality. The power of this story, let me tell you, is about holding on unswervingly to God, whether he shows up or not.
That's right. Come on.
Whew. God is able. These men pursued the person of Jesus when they said, God, the God we serve is able to save us. The promise, Jesus, was with them in the furnace. If you keep reading, you'll notice that they were saved from the furnace. They were thrown in this furnace, but then they were saved. They said that there was like a fourth person in there when they threw in three. There's a fourth person in there, and the fourth one looked like an angel. Hey, you know what? It looks like the son of the gods. Hey, who is this guy? Well, let me tell you, I have a feeling it was Jesus. I have a feeling it was Jesus who was with them, which is, again, the promise. He is going to be with you through the end, even in the midst of that fiery furnace. See, they did not cherish their own lives. Even rather, they were willing to die for that promise. How many of us have been willing to die for something or someone? Yeah, I'm talking to all you guys who thought you guys were all deeply in love back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to die for you, baby. Romeo and Juliet stories. You know, I'm talking to you guys. Some of us cherish drugs, right? Some of us cherished friendships and relationships, even to the point of giving our lives if we had to. What was the reason for that? We had a false sense of security, a false sense of assurance that drug, those who were around us were going to do the exact same thing that we would do for them. In other words, we thought they would be faithful to fulfill what we expected them or it to fulfill, right? Until one day, what happens? Betrayal sets in, or that one thing or person doesn't fill us up any longer. We then go searching for the next big thing. Well, those of us who did that know the feeling of giving it all and still being let down. Let me tell you, dear friend, if you're here visiting us, brother, God does not disappoint. He is faithful to come through and fill us. He just does it in a way that you and I are not used to seeing him come through. He's more than your homeboy or dog, right? That's really good, friend, you know, if he's your dog. That promised to be there for you. Many of us had friends that at a phone call's notice, came rushing to back us up and help us out, right? You knew who that guy was. See, you guys are laughing. Those are that know what's up. You call, hey, bro, this guy's acting up. Can you come? Hey, I'll be there, man. We can handle this, right? And they were there. That's why we kept pursuing those relationships, because of the promises and actions of those guys coming through when we called them, when we needed help. We knew we could trust what they said. We knew that they wouldn't chicken out when things got bad, right? Man, you look at you guys. You guys remember, like, yeah, I remember. You guys are laughing, man. You guys, that was me. That's right. Remember, Beto? I mean, sorry. Right? See, you guys are laughing because you're like, man, dude, those were, I remember, right? I remember. It's not even remember. I remember, right? You know? We remember. But see, Jesus is more than that. Woo! I don't know, man. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. He is more than that. The pursuit of the promise is even more than the promise itself. I don't know if you heard me say that, but I'm going to repeat it. The pursuit of the promise is even more important than the promise itself. The fact that we know and the pursuit of the promise giver is the most important thing. The promise giver is the most important thing. The pursuit of him, the pursuit of the person of Jesus, the ultimate promise is much more than receiving the temporary promises he has for us in this lifetime. Whew. It's all about Jesus, pursuing him. I heard someone say at one time, you know, this is what we do as believers, I believe. I heard someone say, don't pursue God's hands, pursue his face. I'm going to repeat that. Don't pursue God's hands, pursue his face. Many of us pursue God for what he can do, not for who he is. So don't look for what he can do for you. Look at his face so that you can know who he is. Look to him. See, because when you're seeing him, guess what? There's that embrace that follows. His hands will come through for you. Oh, this is amazing. The second thing, church, that we see is receiving God's promise will usually be very different than what we imagined. Receiving God's promise will usually be very different than what we imagined. See, and you've heard me tell this story, some of you guys. This is my, when I talked about my mom passing away, she passed away from cancer. And I remember that one of the things that I remember her saying to me is, don't give up. And you've heard me say that as well. But see, God had done something in her life. Cancer went away. She was in remission for about a year. And so, you know, she received the promise. Amen? She was healed. But then, you know, a year goes by and then cancer comes back. It comes back with a vengeance. And the thing was that my mom only lived to another year and a half until she passed away. After that, she went through chemo and all this stuff. But see, that is also Hebrews 11 that we see. You know, that we believe that, you know, hey, we received the promise, but let me tell you, sometimes that promise, at the same time, she dies not seeing the whole fulfillment of, like, hey, you're set, you're healed, and you're healed forever. But she was healed. She was just healed in a different way. And in that time, I remember that there was a question being asked of me. And this is the promise that God was, I believe, God was asking me, hey, Joel, will you serve me even if your mom does not heal? And this is before she passes away. Are you going to serve me regardless of whether you see that promise that I am able to heal? And it was even more personal because I had just started pastoring at that time. I only had been pastoring for a couple years, and I was a very young pastor at the time, so I really needed my mom. I don't know, any mama's boys around here? You right? Yeah. I really needed her at that time. But guess what? God was saying, are you going to serve me regardless? Am I going to be everything for you, Joel? Even more so than your mom. And I said to the Lord, yes, God. And that was tough. Because I wanted her to be with me, even going through all the stuff that I knew God was also able to walk me through. But God was saying, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to take you through. And to talk to you about that, you know, someone who also went through something similar was Abraham. In Genesis 22, he too was challenged to hold on to the promise even after receiving the promise. Pastor Tim talked briefly about this last week. But the story is very long, so you could read it. It's Genesis chapter 22, and I'm going to read a few scriptures. But one of them is, I want to talk to you, it's found in verse 1 to 3. And you'll notice that there's some blanks here. And they're intentional because I believe God would ask you this today, this morning. And this is what God was asking of Abraham. And it says this way. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. And then take your, and I want you to replace that. You know, in that underline, it says son. He asks of his son, but I want you to replace that with whatever God, whatever is has your heart, whatever is number one in your life, whatever is, and it keeps saying, your only And it says, your only son, but what is that your only in your life? And then it says, whom you love, yes, your son, whom you love so much. In other words, what is that one thing you love so much? I just mentioned to you that one of the things that was very important for me, I had to do this before my mom passed away, was I love my mom so much. And I said, Lord, this is yours. I was kind of, I don't know about you, but it is one of those, I was having a relationship with God through my mom. How many of you guys done that? Mom, can you pray for me? Dad, can you pray for me? And they all know who to go to because you have a relationship with God, but God wants to, you know, help those that are coming to you also have a relationship with him personally. Anyway, that's a message for another day. But it says, whom you love so much and go to the land of Moriah, go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. Wow. He got up early. Let me tell you. Will you be quick to fulfill the task that God asks of you if he's telling you, hey, give this up? This could be your friends. This can be acquaintances, places you visit. This could be many things in your life. What is that to you, that which you cherish? What is it? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 tells us the following. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through. For God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. How many promises are you to keep? All the promises you make to him. So whatever it is that has your heart, hey, go quickly. And then it keeps telling us that Abraham, he saddled his donkey and took his servants, you know, with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped up wood for fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place that God told him to go about. On the third day of their journey, it says that Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Again, he saw the place in the distance. He sees that place. But imagine 3 days walking, knowing that you are to give your only son up. See, God does not reveal everything at one time to you. As you walk out in obedience and what he asks of you, then he begins to show you and reveal to you what and where he wants you and wants of you. Does that make sense? Let me tell you that God will reveal to you even more as you walk out in obedience whatever he's asking you to do. And then he tells his servants, stay here with the donkey. Abraham told his servants, the boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. Again, look at Abraham's assurance. We will come back. Abraham pursued the one who promised more than the promise, which was his son. He pursued the voice that told him, go. It's important. It is in the secret place that Jesus transforms everything you had once thought was impossible. It is in those secret moments when you're praying to God, when you're seeking after him. Again, Jesus constantly did this when he was going to heal someone or perform a miracle. He wants no room for second doubts. He wants no room for second thoughts, or doubts. He wants us to trust him completely, that he is who he said he is, and that he will do what he said he would do. And if he doesn't do it here on this earth, it's okay with me, because my eyes will be fixed in him, on him, and he will be the fulfillment of everything we will ever need after we pass. And it continues to say in this passage, 22, verse 6, so Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. God is able, amen? God is able. That's what Abraham was telling him. Holding on unswervingly to the hope he was professing. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And this is where Hebrews 11:17 comes to life and says the following. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He had received the promises, yet he was ready to offer up his only son. God had told him, through Isaac, descendants will carry on your name. And he reasoned that God could even raise him from the dead. And in a sense, he received them back from there. It's exactly what Abraham was saying. God is able, if I do kill him, God is able to resurrect my own son. Imagine this. God's friend. This is his homeboy. We were talking about friends, right? This is saying, I know my friend will not let me down. He will not disappoint me. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God, and you have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. See, many of the promises of God don't make sense, but they don't have to. He just wants us to pursue him, and in the pursuit of him, we will find our fulfillment. I don't know if you're hearing me this morning, church. It is amazing to see how God surprises us when it comes to his promises. But in all things, he comes through. He is faithful and he is able. See, this is what Abraham was experiencing. Abraham knew that God would not disappoint him, but that God would do like the apostle said in Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 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 He knew that God, his friend, would come through. That his friend would not lead him to do something that he would later on regret. Like many of us have experienced. He knew that that person who he had been in relationship with, God, and who had already come through, would come through one more time. See, God already come through. He received the promise. Abraham received the promise. But now he was saying, give that promise over to me again. See that? He said, give me that promise. Am I the number one person in your life? That's what God is asking us. Do I take first place? God wants us to have him at the center of everything. One thing I've learned, and I want to conclude with this, is that God does not come through the same way with what he has promised the same way every time. However, one thing I am sure of is that every time, he will always come through. He will always come through. God is not looking for people to pursue his hands. God is looking for people who are willing to pursue the promise beyond their own preferences. The promise, Jesus, beyond their own comfort. The promise, Jesus, without any doubt. He wants us to trust him. And as we decide to put our hope and our trust in God, let us be reminded that we are but foreigners on this earth. I don't know if you heard me, church. We're not going to be here forever. Tell somebody that. We're not going to be here forever. We are longing for a greater home, for a greater promise, our pursuit in the person of Jesus. The promise will always require us to be stretched, to be uncomfortable, to take, go, and sacrifice whatever it is that you filled in the blank, that which you have yet to give and surrender to the Lord. So today we'll be taking communion in just a few moments. But my question is, would you trust God with what is grabbing a hold of your heart? Would you surrender yourself to him? Remember the many times you could have passed away, but you're still here. Would you ask him why and let him show you as you wait in him as we take communion why you're here? Let him remind you of his faithfulness and goodness. If you have gotten comfortable in the last seasons, would you ask him for more this next season in your life? To show you what you need to let go of, to move on and pursue the one who promised rather than the promise itself?